Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, somehow it seems as if the news reports, whether it's the front page of the newspaper or breaking news on television, sometimes it seems as if they're all about terrible disasters, about tragedies of one kind or another. Helicopter crashes into a building of people celebrating in Scotland. It gets front page notice immediately all over the world. An automobile suddenly swerves across the median into oncoming traffic and kills a young mother or a child or both. Tornadoes come out of nowhere, and we have these terrible tours of the wreckage afterwards, and people looking for something, anything, from among their most precious possessions, and they usually are life insurance policies. Sudden announcement in the morning of a factory closing that night. Without any preparation. People wide-eyed to learn they don't have to go to work the next morning. There's no work. Or people caught on railroad tracks. The train coming, but the radio was on loud and the windows were shut and it was cold out and they never heard it. Terrible disasters. Terrible events. Sudden. Unforeseen. Unpredictable, cataclysmic. They come to mind because of this gospel reading. You just heard it a moment ago. The Lord's reference to things that happen suddenly, unpredictably, terribly. And as a matter of fact, if that's what we're looking for, that's what we'll find. That's what we'll sort out and hear from the news, front page or television. And then the question is, how can you be prepared for what you don't know? I mean, it is a good question. How can you be prepared for something you don't know? How can you be prepared for something you can't anticipate? For something you don't expect? And I suppose we can drive attentively, defensively, they say. That helps. A habit of being aware not only of our own car, but everybody else's around us. It's a good thing. Or we can have a storm cellar and we can practice what to do if a tornado siren suddenly goes off. Or we can be careful about saving for some unexpected financial disaster. If we save, there's a habit involved in that. Or we can slow down and look both ways on the railroad track, even if there isn't a signal that goes back and forth. We can be attentive to things. Not fearful, but alert. And that's what the gospel asks us to do, or what Advent asks us to do, what the first Sunday of Advent asks us to do, is pay attention to the things around us. Just the other day on Thanksgiving, I had the privilege of praying with the Franciscan sisters down at Clare Hall. And on Thanksgiving, one of the things we needed to talk about is the fact we can't be grateful if we're not paying attention to what we take for granted that people are doing for us all around us. Only when we're attentive can we be grateful. And as a matter of fact, only if we're attentive can we be generous, if we're attentive to the fact that people around us need things. It isn't all about us. So that attentiveness to the world around us really is at the heart of spirituality. It's at the heart of the gospel. It's at the heart of Advent. To be alert. Not to be concentrated just on ourselves. If we pay attention to things around us, we'll discover not only that a lot of things happen and we need to respond to them, but we'll also notice that all the things that happen suddenly aren't necessarily bad. There's some very good things that are going on in our world. People do win a lottery once in a while. And distant, forgotten relatives can suddenly remember someone in a will, much to their utter shock and surprise. Or antiques up in the attic can suddenly be worth lots of money. I mean, that's what the Antique Roadshow keeps demonstrating to anybody who happens to pay it, turn the television on to the entertainment program. But it's not just about financial, material things. Old family quarrels and arguments can be resolved. People start talking to each other again, in spite of whatever the history was. Good, loyal, honest workers are rewarded. Sometimes a scholarship is given to someone completely unexpectedly, and it's a wonderful gift, not just to the individual, but to the whole family. Salvation Army buckets are all over, and they elicit lots of generosity and good spirit walking into the grocery store, the supermarket. Ancient European enemies, once bitter, can work together. 100 years ago, who could ever have imagined that the Germans and the French would get together with 2 world wars and all that bitterness and all that hostility and all that damage, and suddenly we've got the European Union and we have them using the same money? Who could imagine that? But it's true. Well, there may be problems, but it's still you could not have expected something like that. And the World Council of Churches, after all these centuries of bitter religious hostility and the 100 Years' War and killing each other off and all kinds of terrible things, then suddenly the World Council of Churches comes into being, and the National Council of Churches. And ecumenical relations become not frigid and frozen, but very warm and reconciling. Very warm and reconciling. One of the privileges that I had over the years was to be, for 12 years, the Catholic co-chair of the National Lutheran Catholic Dialogue. Wonderful experience, just wonderful. So good things are happening too. The other day, it was a very cold, bitter day. I took a walk, had a little exercise downtown, and all of a sudden, someone whom I passed by, and I was really cold, I was holding my ears because the wind was sharp. Someone that I passed by said, "I've got an extra scarf, do you want it?" And I was totally unprepared for that kind of reaction. Very nice, well-dressed, young fellow. "I have an extra scarf," he said, "do you want it?" We can be prepared, I suspect, we can be prepared for surprises by creating a world in which surprises can happen. By working to create a world that is attentive to other people and a world that's generous and kind and concerned about others, not just about ourselves. So this is a time then when we're attentive, not just to ourselves, however, when we're attentive to the larger scope of history, to the things that always show up on the front page of the newspaper, and ask, what is God doing these days? What is God doing these days? What are the distinctive signs of the time? Advent is not a little Lent. We have to be careful of that. We have to be careful of thinking that Advent is a Lent. Lent is a time we search out sins in our lives, sins we'd never realize were sins. I playfully say, it's Lent. Look for a new sin, not go out and do something you didn't do before, but look for one that's already there that you hadn't labeled as such before, and recognize and do something about it. That's Lent. That's looking inwards. That's trying to sort things out. That's trying to become a more, a better kind of person. But Advent is different. Advent says, look out the window. See what God is about. And as a matter of fact, there is that English tradition, not just Anglican, but English Catholic tradition for centuries and centuries. They didn't wear purple during Advent. They wore a midnight blue. And that's why you see it around now once in a while. That's very English. That's very that's very Anglican. Because Lent is one thing and Advent is another. Second Vatican Council started 2 years in advance at the suggestion of Pope John, our statue right here in the cathedral, saying, let's look at the signs of the times. What's distinctive about this moment in history that we need to respond to? What is the world all about, and what piece of the gospel should be proclaimed at this moment in a new and fresh and distinctive way? Because the gospel is filled with things, good news, but you know, good news changes a little bit from one time to another. I was in a homily preparation class one time, and we each received a little piece of paper. It was about 30 priests, a little piece of paper. And on that piece of paper was written someone who might be in the congregation. And you know, I received this little piece of paper. It said, I'm a 10-year-old girl. My family is poor. I can only wear one kind of dress to school. They make fun of me. And the question was, what does that person need to hear when she comes to church on a weekend? And there was, I'm a widow, I'm taking care of my husband who's got dementia, I lost my job, I'm afraid to tell my spouse. You know, these kinds of things, little piece of paper, what do they need to hear? The signs of the times, look out the window. John Fowler, a novelist, author, wrote a book called The Magus, M-A-G-U-S, Magus, years ago. It was the story, novel, about a wealthy person who invites some actors and actresses to his island off Greece and gives them a role to play and then says, make up the story. And given their characters, they interact and begin to create the story themselves. And so it isn't all written in advance of a play. Then at the end of the first act, they stop and say, okay, what does the second act have to be? Well, you know, the Magus was an image of God inviting us to our role in the transformation of the world, saying, okay, here's your role. Now figure out how you do it well. God wants us to be partners in the transformation of the world. But we can't be partners in the transformation of the world unless we stop and figure out what the world needs, where it needs to be transformed. And once we got that set out, at this moment in time, as history unfolds, then we can be what Advent is really all about. It's a wonderful moment of grace. And it's given to us through Christ our Lord.